All right. Went to Taqueria Acapulco for lunch. I think I'm just now getting over it. Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes you just eat one too many chips. Amen? Amen, Ronnie Vaculik? That's right. Sometimes just one too many chips. I mean, if you'd have just stopped a half a basket ago, you'd be all right. But it was good. Amen? Good place, good place. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's take them and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to pick it up here in verse 4. We'll read it through verse 6. Chapter 13, the love chapter, the beautiful chapter, this thing we've been covering. This is the eighth message in, I think, this chapter. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. If you're visiting with us tonight, thank you, visitors, for being here.
Amen.
Such a joy to have you. You're an answer to prayer. We love seeing visitors come anytime and every time, and this is what it's about. Praising Jesus, amen. Singing songs to Him, offering Him a concert of praise and prayer, and then we break open the Word of Life, and like one beggar showing another beggar, we're just trying to get the truth out, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, the Word of God reads this, Paul writing to the church of Corinth, "Charity suffereth long, and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." Verse 5, "doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." We covered this last Sunday night, "rejoiceth not in iniquity," and what we're looking at this evening is, "but rejoiceth in the truth." Everybody say truth? Yeah, we're talking about that this evening. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for another opportunity to be in Your Bible, to be in this beautiful love letter that You have given to us. The martyrs have bled for it, Lord. People have died to preserve it. Your Holy Spirit has inspired it. And here we are. We get to read it. We get to preach it. We get to learn from it. We get to be held accountable to it. We praise You and thank You for that tonight. Lord, thank You for Your presence here. Holy Spirit, we know You're among us. Lord, we just praise You and thank You for our salvation this evening. Lord, I pray that You just continue to add to us on Sunday night. Lord, may this be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night kind of place where no telling what will happen any service. God's going to move anytime, all the time, Lord. We just pray that. Thank You for these that have come out this evening. Lord, I pray that our time would not be in vain. It's not wasted, Lord, but we would be washed. We would be encouraged. We would be challenged. We would be set up tonight for a good coming week. We thank You tonight, Lord. We love You. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, thank You for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Last Sunday evening, we were talking about how love never takes what? It never takes satisfaction from sin. Never takes satisfaction from sin. Some of the points of that Bible study last Sunday night, I just want to put back across your bow. Just kind of want to shoot back over you, so to speak, so you know, be fresh in your mind when we kind of look at this next phrase, because these two phrases in verse 6 are playing off one another. That's what Paul's doing here. He's contrasting here, first half of verse 6 with the second half of verse 6. What does he say? "Rejoiceth not in iniquity," but, adversative conjunction, but, what does he say? "Rejoiceth in the truth." All right? So what is he talking about? How? "Rejoiceth not in iniquity." Well, we said sometimes rejoicing in unrighteousness and iniquity takes the form, can you believe this? It actually goes on. It takes the form of hoping someone will make a mistake or fall into some kind of sin. If you've ever thought that kind of thought, if you've ever had that kind of idea, if you ever looked at someone, perhaps you envied them or whatever, and you just hoped bad upon them that they would fall into some kind of sin, you are doing what the Bible says don't do. Right? And I'll just be honest with you, be straight with you, be up front. That's no little thing, that's wicked. That's wicked when that comes out of us, right? Rejoicing in sin is wrong because sin is an affront to the holiness of Almighty God. I mean, it is an affront to Him. right? He has nothing to do with it. He sent his son to die on the cross to pay for it, right? To take care of that mess. It's an affront to him. So the question is, when we asked this last Sunday night, what would you think is one of the most common forms of rejoicing in sin? It's one of the most common forms of it. Yeah, gossip. See, this bears repeating tonight. Amen? Pardon the pun, right? This part of last Sunday night's message bears repeating. Gossip is one of the most common forms of rejoicing in sin. Gossips would do little harm. Gossips would do little harm if they did not have so many eager listeners. Well, people want to get in on it. People want to hear about that wrong, hear about that sin, hear about that mistake, hear about that fall from grace. It's a sad state of affairs when that excites us, to hear that kind of junk and that kind of garbage, right? The sin of gossip, which many Christians treat lightly, again, be straight and honest with you, it's a wicked thing. It's a wicked thing because gossip, uncaringly, it's awful. It's uncaringly revealing the weaknesses and sins of others, and it therefore hurts rather than helps folks that are struggling. You ever been on the bottom of a pile? A pile of people? You ever been on the bottom of a pile of people? I've been on the bottom of a pile of people a time or two in my life, right? I wanted up. And the boys in the neighborhood weren't going to let me up, right? No, we're getting Steve Lee. That kid's got a smart mouth on him. We're going to show him, man. And so they get you playing some football or doing some, man, we're just going to play like we're doing WWE. Wrestling, right? And the gang tackle shows up, like two or three of them on you. Put you on the bottom of a pile, and you're crying to get up, and you won't up, and I'm claustrophobic anyway and don't like tight spaces. So you got two or three bodies on top of you. And then you start breathing in the dirt and the dust, and you start coughing. That's what gossip is to somebody. It's when they're down. It's when they're down, when they've sinned, when they've messed up, and we begin to run them around. It's like we're piling on and pushing their head down in the dirt, right? It's no good. It's no good, right? It hurts people that are struggling rather than helps them. Because the heart of gossip, why? Because the heart of gossip is rejoicing in evil. Well, Pastor, what do you say about things we share that are true about people? Still gossip. Still gossip. Why is that, Pastor? Because it's the way unfavorable, negative truth is passed on, and often the fact that it is passed on, the fact that it's been passed on, it makes gossip the gossip. That's what defines it, right? Gossip has been defined as vice enjoyed vicariously. Oh, I'm never going to do that. But I sure do like talking about somebody else who's done it. Yeah, we get a little sense of pleasure out of that. I want to tell you, it's evil, evil, wicked stuff. Amen? Amen. Folks, through the years, always want to try to not happen too much here. Praise the Lord, hadn't happened too much here. Churches I've been in through the years, though, little factions in the church, see. Oh, man. Well, we want the pastor in our corner. Little faction over here. Oh, man, we want the pastor in our corner, you know. Man, you ain't from there. You didn't grow up there. You come into town, you know, you got your little suits and your Bible and your commentaries, and you just want to preach and love the people, and all of a sudden you got all these factions, and guess what? It's kind of like recruitment day. Everybody wants to recruit the pastor in their faction. You know how they do it. They don't tell you how good the other group is. No, that ain't how they work. They start to tell you how bad the other. What are they doing? They're gossiping about one another, right? You know what I've learned over the years? That stuff goes in one ear and out the other. I try to forget the names, the places, and any of the content. Why? Because secondhand, thirdhand stuff. I don't even know. Could be true, could not be true. Could be manufactured, could not be manufactured. Leave it alone, it's stinky. Amen? Wicked old stuff, right? The person is never helped by spreading the news of another person's sin, right? The essence of gossip is gloating over the shortcomings and sins of others, which makes gossip the great sin it is in itself. Now, gossip's been defined as a vice enjoyed vicariously. Let's drop it and move on. Amen? After mentioning 8 negatives, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, after mentioning 8 negative things that love is not or does not do, the Apostle Paul then finishes this dude up by listing 5 more positives. And the first positive is a contrast with the last negative. Verse 6 says, what does it say? But rejoiceth in the truth. The truth Paul is speaking about, the truth that he's alluding to, is not just simply factual truth. Paul is speaking of God's truth and how it cannot exist apart, or how truth cannot exist apart from God's truth. Amen? Love always rejoices in God's truth and never with falsehood or false teaching. Falsehood or false teaching. See, love cannot tolerate wrong doctrine. Everybody say wrong and then doctrine. Yeah, love can't tolerate that. Love can't tolerate that. No, it just cannot do it. Love cannot tolerate wrong doctrine. See, it is a foolish statement to make. It is a foolish thing to say, and I've heard it in so many words communicated to me. Well, Pastor, it does not make a great difference if people do not agree with us about the doctrine, about this doctrine, about that truth, about this thing. What matters is that we love them. Okay. That's the basic view of what is commonly called the ecumenical movement. Right? I love people that are Jehovah's Witness. I love them. But I'm not going to go start a church with a man. Right? Charismatic groups, I love them. I like their fervor. I like their fire. I like their excitement. I mean, I get all that. But I'm not going to go start a church with them. I'm not going to do it. I love them. But I don't love the teaching. Right? I can separate the two. Right? I'm not going to tolerate the wrong doctrine. Right? Not going to do it. See, that's the basic view of what is commonly called, what's the movement? Ecumenical. That's the dumbing down everything. Y'all just be one thing. Let's just lump it all together. And let's just, you know, why can't we just sit around the campfire and hold hands and, you know, just agree to disagree that Jesus was born of a virgin and that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that Jesus resurrected the third day and that Jesus did this and Jesus ascended. Let's just agree to disagree on that. But, you know, we love one another. Let's just sit around and all get along. Man, I love those people. I just think they need to get saved. Amen? When they push that stuff off about Christ. They don't get Christ. They don't believe Christ. They don't believe who Christ says He was or what He did. Right? But on the other hand, if we love others, it will matter a great deal to us whether or not what they believe is right or wrong. See, we won't just let people keep spinning in the wrong doctrine. We won't just let people keep believing in the wrong doctrine. What people believe affects their souls, church. What they believe affects their eternal destinies, whether they spend eternity in heaven, whether they spend an eternity in hell. Right? Boy, you can be right on a lot of things in the Bible, but miss it on Jesus, you're not going to make it, friend. You're not going to be there. You got to have Christ. You got to have the right view of Christ. You got to have the right perspective on the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Born of a virgin, right? Resurrected the third day. Died on the cross for the sins of humanity, right? Was all God, was all man. How do you reconcile that? I don't. I take it by faith because He's God. Amen? That's what I do. Amen, church? Amen. What people believe affects their souls, their eternal destinies, the representation of God's will, and therefore should be of the highest concern to us. See, what people believe also affects the souls and the destinies, the souls and the destinies of those to whom they influence, like their children, like their families, like other co-workers, like other students, other classmates. See, love cannot tolerate wrong doctrine. Love rejoices with the truth. But secondly tonight, love is consistent. It is consistent with kindness, but it is not consistent with compromise of the truth. No, it's not. It's not. Compromising the truth is not kind to those whom we mislead or by our failure to stand firmly in the truth. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 John. 2 John. Be not the Gospel of John, it'd be the 2 John, right? 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Ain't that close? Am I in the ballpark when I say that? It's been a long day. I hope I'm close there. I'm hoping close. Too many chips, brother. Too much salt. I think there was some allspice in my food. Amen? A lot of MSG. Hurt me. It hurt me, man. It hurt me. All right. Love is consistent with kindness, but it is not consistent with compromise of the truth. Compromising the truth is not kind to those whom we mislead by our failure to stand firmly in the truth. Look at 2 John verse 6. 2 John verse 6. You got it? 2 John verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. See, to compromise, for example, with those who cast doubt on the incarnation is not loving and risks losing reward. The incarnation, man. Jesus was born of a virgin. The incarnation. The Holy Spirit conceived, man. The incarnation. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Well, that's impossible. Not with God, it's not. Amen? It's the incarnation. That's what the Bible says. Jesus born of a virgin. Right? Lived a sinless life. The incarnation. All God and all man. Flesh, but yet God. Could feel pain, but yet was God. The incarnation. Came down here to tabernacle with us. Compromise with those who cast doubt on the incarnation is not loving, and it risks, you know what it risks? When we start messing around with pushing away Bible doctrines, important Bible, you know what we risk? We risk our reward. Look at 2 John verses 7 and 8. 7 and 8. 2 John verses 7 and 8. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and a what? What does your Bible say? Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a what? Full reward, church. A lot of folks messing around with the Bible today. Just take a little bit here. You know, I think we can build a church on just these little few verses right here. We'll just keep it positive. We'll keep it upbeat. We'll just keep blowing sunshine up everybody's skirt, everybody's pant legs. We'll just keep pumping them and telling them and all of this stuff. We won't dabble with this sin stuff. We don't want to be negative, right? Won't preach all the Bible, just a little bit of God's Word. We'll build a church, we'll be a big crowd, man. Well, I'm telling you, somebody's going to answer one day for that. Somebody's going to stand before the judge one day and answer for that. Let me tell you something. Love, truth, and righteousness. Love, say it, love. Truth, say it, truth. And righteousness, those things are inseparable. Well, they run together. They're three strands of the same rope. Love, truth, and righteousness. You cannot take one out of there without diminishing the other two. They stand together. When one is weakened, the others are weakened. So a person who teaches falsehood about God's truth, and this is where I've erred, I have messed up here because I want to debate somebody. I want to get it, and I'm not an apologist, by the way. God's called me to be a gospel preacher in a local church, right? Sometimes I want to put on my Ravi Zacharias hat, right? Y'all know who Ravi Zacharias is? You ever read Ravi? Oh, he's deep. I get a book by Ravi. About the third time through, I kind of got an idea what he's saying. That's how deep it is. Ravi Zacharias. He's way over there. Sometimes I want to put on my Josh McDowell jacket, amen? And be that great. God's not called me to be an apologist, right? He's not called me to do. He's called me to preach the everlasting gospel, just not preach it everlastingly. Let folks have a break, amen? Right? Give a little bit and then give a break. That's what he's called me to do. So I've erred here. I've messed up. I want to try to debate these folks. I shouldn't be doing that. See, a person who teaches falsehood about God's truth should not even be received into our home. I've made the mistake of doing that. Should not be received into our home. Should not even be given a greeting. Yeah. You say, where do you find that? 2 John verse 10. 2 John verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So what am I going to do next time the JWs come by? What am I going to do? When they walk up my driveway, I'm going to say, bye, boys. Bye-bye. Not offering you a greeting. They say, I'm going to, you know, 2 John verse 10. Let them think about that on the ride back to the house. Amen? On the bicycles or, right? We're not to rejoice in a wrong doctrine that someone teaches or in a wrong way in which someone lives. Love rejoices in the truth and never in falsehood or unrighteousness. We can all agree on that. But let's don't lose the balance. I get wound up. The spit flies, the nostrils flare, the veins bulge. I get wound up. Don't be confused here. Don't be unbalanced, because this is it. Love does not focus on the wrongs of others. Love doesn't focus on the wrongs of others. It just doesn't tolerate it. It just doesn't let it into one's life. But doesn't focus on the wrongs. You see that? Love does not parade their faults for all the world to see. No, we don't do that. Love does not disregard falsehood and unrighteousness, but as much as possible, love focuses on the true. It focuses on the true and the right. Amen? Well, the service was good today because the singing was truth. Because the praying was truth. Because the worship was in spirit and truth. Amen. And the preaching attempted to be true today. Amen. Love looks for the good and emphasizes the good. Love rejoices in those who teach the truth and live the truth, church. Amen. A Scottish minister was known for his love and encouragement of the people of his church and his village. And when he died, someone commented, "There's no one left to appreciate the triumphs of the ordinary folk." No one left to appreciate them. Love appreciates the triumphs of ordinary folk. Amen? Now, you're going to think I'm really mean here. You're going to think I'm callous. I don't get it. I'm out of touch. I would rather hear about y'all's spiritual victories, about y'all's getting into the Word of God on Monday night, about you telling somebody about Jesus Christ. I would rather hear that. I would rather you go on and on about that than hear something that the Houston Texans did. That hear one more thing about J.J. Watt. That J.J.'s been here or been there or met this or done that, I could care less. Amen? I want to celebrate with the people that are living and doing the truth of God. Amen? That's what I want a piece of. Amen? Tell me more. Tell me more. Amen? Celebrate. Love appreciates the triumphs of ordinary folk. Our children are built up and strengthened when we encourage them in their accomplishments and in their obedience when they are following the will and the Word of God. Amen? Well, we need to help them. We need to help them there, church. See, love does not rejoice in falsehood or wrong, but its primary business is to build up, not tear down. Its primary business is to strengthen, not weaken. And you can see the contrast here in verse 6 now, can't you? Let me get back over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I end with this tonight. William Gladstone, a prime minister of England back in the 19th century. William Gladstone is considered one of the greatest prime ministers Great Britain, the United Kingdom, has ever had. He's equivalent, his prime minister would be equivalent to our president here in these United States of America. One night he was working late on an important speech he was to give to the House of Commons the very next day. That would be like speaking before Congress here in Washington, D.C. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, though, a woman knocked on his door asking Mr. Gladstone's personal servant if Mr. Gladstone, the prime minister, the president, so to speak, what we would think of, if he would come and comfort her young crippled son who lay dying in a tenement not far away from his quarters. Without hesitation, the busy man set his speech aside and went. Now, that's a public servant, isn't it? He sent his speech aside. One of the most important speeches he would give of his political career. He set it aside and he went. Gladstone spent the rest of the night with the boy, comforting him, encouraging him, building him up in his dying state, and finally leading him to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Public servant, right? The boy died at about dawn. Gladstone returned home, having not gone to bed. He told a friend later that morning, said, "I'm the happiest man in the world today. Half prepared, no sleep, but has been able to be used to pass on the loving, saving gospel to a dying young man." Right? Here he is. Gladstone, I've already mentioned it, is considered one of Great Britain's, the United Kingdom's greatest prime ministers of all time, but his true greatness was not in his political position or attainments, but in his great love, a love that would risk his political future, church. That's what love does. It risks all to build somebody up, to pass on the gospel to somebody else. Love that would risk his political future to show the love of Christ to a young boy in great need, a child at his ninth hour, somebody about to enter eternity. He passed on the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know what happened the day he stood up before the House of Commons and spoke? Historians record, as it turned out that morning, Gladstone also made what some historians claim was the greatest speech of his life. Of his life. He's in politics for 40 years. Of his life. He gained that victory as well, but he had been willing to lose it. He had been willing to lose that victory for the sake of a greater victory. And that is, love's victory was more important. Amen, church? So build them up. Don't tear them down. Somebody comes to you with a gossiping tongue, lovingly confront them, and just shut them down. "Hey, man, I love that person. I love you. Why don't you skip the middleman and just go talk to them?" Right? Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get to our prayer time here this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word, for your will, for your accountability to us, Lord, how you're holding us accountable to your word. Lord, as we study this love thing more and more, Oh, man, we need to look at our lives. We need to line up with this. We need to attempt to seek to do your will, to be a 1 Corinthians chapter 13 Christian when it comes to loving. Lord, help us when we fail. Forgive us when we stumble, sin against you in this area of verse 6. Help us strive to be better. Help us be surrendered spiritually so that you may equip us and hone us and sharpen us to be that encourager, to be that loving soul winner, to be that good friend that will lovingly confront when we hear a gossiping tongue. Oh, we don't want to share dissension or share that garbage. We don't want to hear it. We want to help somebody get free of it. Lord, we thank you tonight for all that you do for us, for our salvation that we have in you. It's in your name we pray. God's people said, all right, let's look at our prayer list tonight.